This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Tass is just choking in the background. Got a bit of a furball, I think.
And no, it's the cake maker. It's that cake. We shouldn't be eating cake in the studio anyway.
I just put it in my mouth and ate it.
You certainly did. There's nothing left on that place.
Well, it's sort of Christmas happy rainbow festival cake thing.
Now, what are we doing next, Macca? Who are we chatting with?
We're ringing Tony Walker, CEO of Ambulance Victoria. We're just trying to get hold of him now.
And you particularly want to chat about our kids in cars, Macca?
Well, it's something we covered actually last year. and again this year, I saw that I think it was Wednesday, I haven't got the figures for Friday, that there were 14 cases Ambulance Victoria attended of kids in cars. And also, you know, what's happening with the enterprise agreement, but also, you know, how's Ambulance Victoria going? You know, what's happening out there on the road? How are they dealing with all the health challenges that are being faced around all the different communities?
I think we've got him on the
air. Oh, we've got him. Oh.
Is that Tony Walker?
Yep, speaking.
How are you?
Not bad. Is this line clear enough?
It is, but I think we've got the wrong Tony Walker.
I think we have got the wrong Tony Walker.
We have.
You were one to speak to the first responders guy, right?
Yes.
We want to speak to the head of Ambulance Victoria. So who are you, Tony, just as a matter of interest?
I'm a columnist for the Agency of New and the conversation, various other outlets.
We've had a couple.
That's why I was a bit confused. But if you want me to talk about, you know, national emergency matters, I'm very happy to do so.
We've had a couple of minor technical issues this morning. We've lost a number. We've called the wrong Tony Walker. Here you go. Right. You are on Australia's only LGBTI radio station. Thank you.
Am I on air now?
You're on air, absolutely. You are absolutely on air.
Oh, right, okay. Lucky I didn't say something inappropriate.
It's very lucky.
We wouldn't expect that from a journalist of your esteem, of course.
Do you want me to pretend to be the Tony Walker that you...
I don't know. Do you know any ambulance jokes?
No, but I tell you what I did do. I went and joined the local countryside study.
Tony, we've got a really bad line. We can barely hear you as well.
Yeah.
But what I am going to say, Tony, is...
We've got the right one.
We've got the right Tony, so we might
as,
actually...
Much as we love you, it's goodbye.
Tony, best wishes for the season and New Year to you. Bye-bye.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hello. Have we got the right one now? Tony?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. We're speaking to another Tony Walker. I don't know how we got the number.
Turns out he's a journalist, and he had no idea that he was on air.
And
so.
I asked him if he knew any ambulance jokes. He said he didn't. He said he didn't. Sorry about that. Everyone, it's my fault. It must be. So Tony, the first thing I want to ask about, I saw the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, that there were 14 cases of ambulances called to kids in cars. This was Wednesday, I think.
On Thursday, actually. Thursday, we had 14 cases.
Yep.
And surprisingly, after all the messaging that went out, we had 10 yesterday. So you just sit there and go...
Yesterday, 40-degree temperature.
Yep, we had 10 cases yesterday. So when the minister was out there, all our team had been out there, I think it was our hottest December day ever, and yet we still found people, 10 cases were called to yesterday with kids in cars, which I just find, I'm speechless, I've got to say, absolutely speechless.
What's going on? What do you think's happening, Tony?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think the message is, my sense is the message is out there and people know the risks around it. Whether it's just, there may be cases from time to time where, kids lock themselves in cars and those things. And I acknowledge that, parents are doing the right thing or very quickly call us if there's a problem. But to have 10 cases yesterday on our record hottest December day, I just find... It makes no sense to me now. I just don't know why people aren't getting that message. It's the impact on those kids and what it could do to them is just dreadful.
Do you know why, Tony? Because they're stupid.
Oh, Macca.
No, seriously. Why would you think? Okay, if you bought some ice cream, you wouldn't leave it in the car while you're ducked into get a hairnet or whatever people are doing, right? You bought some meat for Christmas dinner. You wouldn't leave the turkey in the boot, yet they're happy to leave their children there. They're stupid.
There will often be times when I accept, kids have locked themselves in or whatever, and parents have very quickly called emergency services to help, and I acknowledge that. But we've had nearly 1,500 cases from the 1st of January through to the end of November that we've attended collectively with the other emergency services. 14 Thursday, 10 yesterday. So clearly the message isn't getting across still, despite all the work that people are doing.
I don't get it.
That's extraordinary. 1,500 cases. I find that astonishing, actually. So the messages clearly aren't getting out there. Clearly that's not enough. Clearly it's not enough. Is there anything else that we should be doing as a community?
Well, I think for me, it is the conversations that are going on about the risks. It is people understanding this is not just a conversation about it's not a good thing to do. This will kill kids and kill kids very quickly, and we've sadly seen that happen. My sense is we've just got to keep pushing out there consistently across all networks the messaging that the risks around it, and holding people to account where they've done the wrong thing. There are laws in place around this, and they need to be exercised, in my view, where people have done the wrong thing.
Now, I'm probably going to offend some people with this. I reckon there needs to be a television ad, Tony. So it can be in three parts. You can have a container of ice cream sitting on the seat on a hot day and a picture of it melting. You can have a picture of a turkey sitting on the seat that's, on a hot day and that it smells.
I can feel an offence coming on.
And then perhaps a funeral scene. Because people need to understand,
But ads don't work, Macca.
Well, the law, it's against the law. It's actually an offence. It's a jail, it's a criminal offence.
Ads on their own don't work.
Yeah, but, people, tell that to the 0.05. It's worked there. It's taken a long time.
Anyway, talking about it is the right thing to do, and we have been talking about it. Tony, I'm going to shift the conversation to another topic.
Sure.
And that is to really ask you to focus on what have been your highlights in the last 12 months as the head of Ambulance Victoria.
Yeah, well, that's a great question to ask. And I think for me, some of the highlights for me have been our continued work in the mental health space and the expansion of our peer dog program. And, I've got to say that I've just been amazed how that's got the conversation going about mental health and the impact it's had. So that's been a big
very briefly tell us what they
and
are.
And there's a calendar, Tony.
There is a calendar,
peer dog support calendar.
What is it? What's the peer support program?
So in essence, what we've got, we've had peers out there, which our paramedics are out there, that will follow up with our staff after difficult cases or when things aren't going well. And about 18 months ago, we trialled a program where we put a peer dog in, where we have a dog of one of our paramedics that goes out with them to difficult cases and meeting up with crews as part of their normal work. And we very quickly realised this is resonating with our staff. That staff were... as a result of the dog was an inroad into having a conversation about how they're going with their mental health. or after really difficult cases, some people didn't want to talk about it, and I respect that. They just wanted to spend a bit of quiet time, and the dog was able to be part of that quiet time with them as well. So it's gone very well. It's been well received by our staff, and we've just rolled out about 6 weeks ago 12 dogs now across the state. Mm. So we've expanded the program, and it's really twofold. It's one, it allows people to spend some time with the pets after the difficult cases or to engage. But importantly, it creates a conversation about mental health and helping break down the stigma. And particularly older blokes like me, you know, we don't often want to talk about our mental health. We've been quite surprised how, people have not wanted to open up about what's going on in their lives generally. But with the dogs have been a bit of an inroad where they've started a conversation with one of the peers, because these dogs are the dogs of the peers, with one of the peers about their mental health, and it's been life-changing for them.
So, Tony, it sounds like what you're talking about is one of the highlights from your point of view is the investment and development of workforce welfare programs. So it sounds like you're very proud of what's been achieved there.
I am. I think, you know, we've come a long way over the last 5 years. I mean, you know, NACA knows this. We had dropped the ball about the health and wellbeing of our staff a few years ago because we were so focused on the community at the cost of our staff. We've balanced that better now. We've still got an awful lot of work to do, but I've got to say, you know, we've got a healthier workplace and a healthier workforce today than I had a few years back, and I know I'll have a healthier workforce tomorrow if we keep investing in and focusing on this important issue and working with our staff and the unions over addressing some pretty hard issues. And, you know, this job does take its toll over time on people, and, you know, the dogs aren't the solution to everything, but they're part of a broader program we've got in place. So that's probably the one I'm most proud of, this continued focus on mental health and wellbeing. The other ones for me are some of the new, you know, we've had a significant increase in staff this year that have been, so I've got a new workforce, a younger workforce, as well as some of the older guys as well. And, you know, their enthusiasm is just palpable across the organisation. Trialling new things, probably the biggest thing I'm most proud of, in addition to the mental health work, is that we were the Premier's large health service of the year this year.
Yes, so, certainly were.
As an ambulance service, competing against some impressive health services across the state, and to be awarded that award was incredibly, incredibly proud moment for all of us.
Congratulations.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Now we're gonna speak to Tony also briefly on Christmas Day. So we're gonna jump over the Christmas.
We're not going to do Christmas messages today. But what we do want to know though is, you know, what are you looking forward to next year? What are your top one or two sort of priorities for 2020?
For us, 2020 is very much about continuing to focus on the health and wellbeing of our staff. So that's the big one for us. We've got new resources rolling out in different parts of the state. So, you know, working around, the government's committed to rolling out a range of new services across rural Victoria particularly. So we're focused very heavily on that. Managing increasing demand for us, you know, so this, and I know the health services are experiencing this as well, but the demand in our community is growing. And so trying new different models of care is an important thing for us next year. We've been successful in some pilot work with Barwon Health around how we manage mental health differently down in Geelong, and I'm looking forward to opportunities to potentially expand those sort of programs next year. So,
give us a flavour of what that looks like, Tony.
Our staff, and this is a great model, came from our staff, not from me or my senior managers, as our staff on the ground said, we reckon we can manage mental health differently if we didn't respond an ambulance but responded a mental health worker with a paramedic. And they work with Barwon Health down there, great partner down in Geelong, to do this. And we've had a pilot in place now. It's for a six-month pilot, but now it's being expanded to 12, where we've got a paramedic and nurse responding to mental health crises in the community. So rather than taking them to an emergency department, which is probably not the best place for them at that time, but that was our only pathway for them, we've now got an ability for mental health nurses and the paramedics to get the right solution for them, to manage them in their home or to directly admit them into mental health facilities where they're getting the right care based on their particular needs. And it's been amazing down there. It's reduced admissions to emergency departments, and the feedback we've been getting from people with a mental health crisis is, you know, it's probably the most respectful they've felt. They haven't had to have the police or an ambulance out the front of their house. it's a discreet vehicle responding that's actually been able to provide them the right care.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a great initiative.
It is.
Going to ask Tony, so, you know, some of the challenges for the year ahead, you've got, you know, as you said, and I was saying to Tass before you went on air, it almost seems there isn't a week or a fortnight goes where I don't see, you know, your happy mug with a whole lot of paramedics graduating.
That's true, yes.
Graduating. Yeah. So, you know, the service is expanding. I know the vehicle fleet is expanding. But one of the challenges there is that, you know, I suppose as paramedics, you know, leave the service for a whole range of reasons, that, you know, the challenge has to be to keep the focus on the mental health, doesn't it? Because, you know, you've invested all this money in these folk, and, you know, if they're leaving, it's not a very good investment, is it? Like, it's...
No. And we don't see... I mean, attrition for us is pretty low. So I've got to say, we only see probably only about 3 or 4% of our staff turnover every year. So we can't be complacent about that.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that a younger workforce now have different... They're wanting a different experience with us than, say, someone of my vintage. And so a lot of the work we're doing now, in fact, with some of the negotiations around our paramedic EB, is around flexibility. So how do we create flexibility in circumstances where they can get a better work-life balance, and they can move in and out of the service based on their family and other professional development needs. So I agree with you, Macca. We need to keep focusing on the well-being of our staff, and, you know, really to be an employer of choice. So one of our pillars is being a great place to work and volunteer, and we're genuine about that. And to do that, you know, we've got to continually look at, well, what are the needs of our staff and their physical and mental health, and how do we keep supporting it?
Tony, and just before we wind up, at a personal level, have you got something to look forward to? A holiday, perhaps, or?
Oh no! Well, my holiday is probably going to be not over January. It's a busy time for us, so I'm looking forward to a couple of things. Personally, I'm becoming a grandfather again next year, which will be lovely. So
I'm very excited
about that. So that'll be my second grandchild. So that's a very lovely personal thing. I'm looking forward to. I've just ticked over 5 years in this job, both acting and permanently appointed just this week, and I'm looking forward to. So I think will be a busy but good year. There's a lot of new things happening, I think.
Congratulations. Right, You've secured another 5-year contract. That's excellent.
Yeah, I have. Well, you know, as long as you have in these jobs, you know what they're like. As long as you keep delivering, that's the important thing. But I love it. I really do enjoy this job. It is a privilege to be heading up this great organisation, and we've got so much to look forward to over the next 12 months.
Now, two final things. We'll speak to you on Christmas Day, Tony. But before we go, can you impersonate a journalist, Tony Walker?
I don't think I can. I don't think I'd want to. I think that could give me big trouble.
Because next week's show, we're going to dedicate the whole show to all the different Tony Walkers. You don't need to be Tony Walker, you just have to pretend.
I can't wait to hear what I missed out on just before I came.
We'll tell Gordon to make sure it's part of the podcast.
We did have one of our listeners actually text in and said that she'd be very happy to be Tony Walker.
Well, that was actually Jude Munro from the Pride Centre. Yeah, Jude, husky up the voice a bit and you'll be right.
Tony, thank you very much for your time this morning. Best wishes for the season and the new year. I won't be here on Christmas Day, but Macca will be. But thank you for making yourself so available during the year to spend time with our community and our listeners.
Thank you so much, and have a great Christmas and New Year. And thank you for everything you do every day. We all appreciate it.
Good on you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.